Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate, and where we empower all to the glory of God. I'm so very excited that you decided to tune in on this wonderful, wonderful night of November, November 14th, when we'll never see again. And praise God, but praise God, we were in it. And so whatever we accomplished today, whatever God laid on our heart to do, I pray that we did it in his wisdom and his strength. And then those things that we weren't able to accomplish today, praise God, we'll pray that he will give us an opportunity to complete them on tomorrow if we can't finish them within the few hours we have left in the day. But nevertheless, praise God that we are still here. For those of you, this is your very first time tuning in. My name is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I'm looking forward to sharing an inspiring word that God has laid on my heart on tonight to share with you. And again, we are here to encourage, to educate, and to empower. It may not be a brand new topic, but it will definitely be one that will encourage you to make you think a little different, to make you maybe investigate to find out a little bit more than what you knew before so that you can be educated and encouraged and then be empowered to make the necessary changes. And whatever changes you make, don't keep them to yourself. Share them with others. And that's why you are empowered to share with others, empowered to change and make the necessary changes, but more importantly, be empowered to share it with someone else. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. And whoever invited you, tell them thank you as well. For those of you that have been with me for 10 years, can you believe that? 10 years we've been in this vein. I'm very, very grateful that each of you have stayed with me, whether you've been with me for 2 months, 2 weeks, 10 years, the whole 10 years. I'm overwhelmed that you continue to pray for me and keep me focused and keep me lifted in the things of God. And so I will always, always, always give you tribute because I wouldn't be able to be encouraged and empowered and then educate myself on topics that I need to learn and to grow from so that I can be empowering to you. And so I thank you for being empowering to me. For those of you that don't know, I always say Jesse and Tammy Store, because without these two people, I wouldn't have known this was a platform for me. And so I always give them shout-outs by name, them and the Omega Ministry Group, because they continue to encourage me and continue to enlighten me and empower me to do what God has called me to do. And so I will always call their names out. They have only not only been a source of help, but they've also been examples. And so I will always give them credit where credit is due, the recognition and the authority. Amen. Now, the greatest praise has to go to our Father above. Praise God. Without him, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't be possible. We definitely wouldn't have an opportunity to have eternal life with him. And so we always want to make sure that we acknowledge everybody so we go into our word of prayer, because that's where our lesson comes from. And so we want to make sure that we acknowledge him in prayer before we go into our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to yield everything to you and have the peace and the wisdom and the authority of knowing that we can relax and rest in you. We thank you, Father, that you are divine and that will grant us. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear much fruit. And that fruit will remain, because we can't do anything without you. So, Father, your word also says that if we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can ask for whatever we wish and it will be granted. So we thank you, Father, that we will not ask anything that's contrary to your will and to your way, and that you will bless us to know that you are our shepherd and that we don't have to want for anything if we walk in the authority and power that you give. And so we thank you, Father, for that power and authority. And most importantly, Father, we thank you for the resources that you give to make that even available to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that guides us, leads us, teaches us what we need to say and what we need to do, and even when we need to be quiet. We thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you, Father, for lowering yourself to become part of us so that we could experience you in ways that we would have never been able to had not the sacrifice been made. So we thank you, Father, for paying that blood paid for whatever it was, Father. I don't even have a name for it because it was so great, so grand. But there is no name for it. But we just thank you for it, because if it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't be here. And so we just thank you, Father, for the word, for the Holy Spirit, and for Jesus' sacrifice. And we thank you, Father, for allowing us to have understanding of your word. So, Father, remove me and let you become completely forward in this lesson so that we will gain whatever it is that you have for us, whether it's tonight or whether it's a person that's listening 2 or 3 months from now. Let it be a rhema word, Father, for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Or if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killing with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so if I had to put a title to the lesson that God gave me, is In Authority. And so In Authority, because of the title, could have been much longer. I shortened it to In Authority because I believe what God wants us to learn from tonight is to pray in authority and for those in authority. And so we'll deal with the first part of it, of praying in authority, and then for those in authority. We live in a time where they're doing a lot of voting. There's a couple of runoffs, and we're looking to see who the leader will be or who a leader will become, whether they will actually be a leader, amen, or not. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that the word that God ordained government and that God empowers us to be leaders. And so leadership has always been something that intrigues me. And I guess because I was surrounded by it growing up. My father was a manager. My uncle owned his own businesses. You know, it's just being growing up in that environment, watching them manage people and manage situations and manage money allowed me to really pay attention to the power, I guess you will, in leadership. As to why I went to college and wanted to be in debt magazine, but nevertheless, it did intrigue me because it commands authority. And so if you don't operate and use the authority and the power properly, it can be a problem. Even though I've seen bad managers in the span of time that I've been working for people and even over people, I've got to learn how to appreciate. And so when I see and notice people in management, I pray for them because I know it's not an easy job. And so I have these group of students that want to own their own businesses, and we're learning about why it's important for you to do the back work now while you're young. And so when it comes to time for you to operate in that authority, operate in that power, that you will have the fruit because you already have done the legwork and done the groundwork for planting the right seeds. And so when you plant the right seeds, you can expect a good harvest. And so when God referred me to what is spiritual authority and what is spiritual power, it came to a whole nother dimension. I think sometimes we get caught up because we're living in a system and we see what we see, and we're sometimes governed by what we see, that we don't really pay attention to what's going on behind the scenes, and that's behind the curtain in the spiritual world. I think we forget that we're spiritual beings living in this earthly realm, and that we have to remember the things that we do should be to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves or not to empower ourselves, but to do the things that God will call for us to do. And so when God gave me this topic, I was feeling my best and I'm watching, you know, TV because that's about what I could do, laying up waiting for my healing to manifest, and just noticed all the commentary about the, you know, the political results and how people feel that if this person's in office, this will happen. If this person's not in office, this won't happen. And it just intrigues me how those of us that believe in the power of God, that believe in the authoritative word that we have, that we believe we don't have as much power in our prayers. And so, of course, prayer is one of my favorite topics outside of the word. It's like, Lord, why don't we pray enough? Why do sometimes our prayers go amiss? How come I'm still in this bed of affliction? How come I'm not being able to pray myself out of this bed? And then God reminded me, are you praying in your authority or are you just praying? And so there is a distinct difference. And so tonight I want to focus on what God has placed in my heart to share about why it's important for us to not just pray, but to pray in our spiritual authority. And I'm going to give you a few examples in a minute, but you know how I love to do. I like to always give definitions or give better understanding on the topic that we're talking about. And so when I first learned years ago how to pray in authority, I didn't quite look up the word. I just assumed that just because I was praying and I prayed in Jesus' name that it was an authority. And then the lady that was kind enough to bless us with her guest appearance a couple weeks ago, she helped me to understand that there is a distinct difference. And so when we pray in authority, we are praying to declare something. And so when we talk about declaring something, we're talking about we're saying something in a solemn and an emphatic manner to announce or to proclaim. And I like how I looked up, of course, those two words, and it's to know or to state clearly. And so when we're declaring our prayer and using spiritual authority, we have to be reminded who we're praying to and what we're saying and what we're calling out. And so just to give you an example, when I was praying for my eye and for the enemy to leave me alone, it was, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want the devil to stop bothering me and to leave me alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so now that sounded like a good prayer. Well, let me show you what a spiritual authority prayer sounds like, using the word, of course. I am a child of God, and his spirit dwells in me, and I have victory over this situation. Therefore, I command by the name of Jesus that every stronghold that the enemy has sent against me must be destroyed. By the power and blood of Jesus, I rebuke Satan and bind his evil forces. I cast him out of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't that sound like I have more power, more authority? Don't that sound like the devil will back up a couple of times because they think, ooh, that's a different type of prayer. That's not a big and whining prayer. That's a prayer set with spiritual authority. Like, they believe that. And so we have to be mindful how to understand what our spiritual authority is. And so unless we understand it, then we won't use it. And so spiritual authority is basically, it's God's given right to receive and use the power that flows from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you notice in many of my prayers, I always say thank you for the word, thank you for the Holy Spirit, and thank you for the blood stain that Jesus sacrificed for me. I want to make sure that I acknowledge those three resources because they're important. In order for us to operate in any authority of God or any power of God, we have to acknowledge where we learn it from and where we get it from. We get it from him, of course. But we wouldn't know about it unless we read about it. If we don't read about it, how will we operate in it? And how will we take advantage of the Holy Spirit living in and breathing in us if we don't understand it? You have to understand it. It's almost like what I talked about last week, how sometimes we take things for granted and we don't use the gift of salvation like we should. When we gave our lives to Christ, we have so many benefits. And we don't take advantage of them, including myself. I'm laying there all weekend, you know, just bound in pain. And then when God, I was like, Lord, how long is this going to last? I don't know. How long do you want it to last? Because you know what to do, but you're not doing it. And so I had to recognize I have to use my spiritual authority. Have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, praise God, then I should be able to use it. And so I can't use it if I'm not reading properly. If I'm reading just enough to say that I read something for the day, is that really reading? If I'm praying just to say I prayed for the day, is that really praying? If I acknowledge God in some kind of way just to say that I know that he's there without really taking advantage and meditating on what he told me to do, and being obedient what he told me to do for the day, am I really giving it to God? Or am I just doing something? So we have to remember, God dwells in us. And because he dwells in us, he's given us authority and power to operate. One of the coolest things that, like I said, I love the word. And so when we get into situations and we have challenges and we're in pain and we're having all these crises, sometimes the last thing we want to do is read the Bible or listen to the word or have somebody preach to us. At that time, we don't want to hear none of that. But that's the time that we really need to hear, because at some point, the enemy has distracted us to not believe in the word or not to reach out to the Word. And the Word is our life. It is our source. It is our recourse to get back on track. Amen. But when we avoid doing it because we're allowing the situation become the problem, become over the promise, and I say that again, we make the problem higher than the promise, then we will have the manifestations of whatever we're believing, because we're believing in the problem and we're not believing in the promise. And so in order to believe in the promise, we have to be reminded why it's important for us to memorize scripture, because we are human and our flesh is weak. Our spirit is always willing. Flesh is weak. And so we're in those times where we just don't want to hear the word. And it's sad to say, but it's true. If you don't have nothing in you, then there's nothing going to come out. But at least in the midst, I was in so much pain on Friday. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what else to do. So I turned my music on. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. So I turned my praise music on. I turned it up loud, and I thought I was crazy because it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I got my music on blast, but that was what I needed. And so of course my daughter comes in the room. And she said, "Mama, do what you got to do." And I'm like, "Thank you." I'm like, "Lord, for real, for real." Well, praise God. I'm turning on that praise music and really singing praise music, not that fun stuff where I could get up and dance like I like to do. But the real praise, like, Lord, I need you. I need you to come through for me. And praise God, I was able to go to bed. But nevertheless, why is it that we have to get to those extremes when all we have to do is to do it in the beginning? And why, again, why that scripture? You have to have it in you, and you have to believe in it in order for it to work. I like that God lays out, I mean, those of us that study the word, and you don't even have to be a studier, so I take that back. You don't even have to be a studier of the word. You just have to know how to use Google and put in toothache scriptures to help my tooth. Amen. And God will give it to you, but you just got to believe in it. But what I like to do is I like to write out scriptures to prove a point. And so these scriptures that I'm going to give you will give you a little story of a point to prove what I'm saying is true. In John 16:13, it says, "When the truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare." There's that word again. "Declare to you the things that are to come." Wow. So if we're supposed to operate and live like Jesus, then we have to abide by what he did. Right now, we do recognize that God, Jesus is God in the form of human. But anyway, nevertheless, God said that when all spirit of truth comes, you will be guided into all truth and to speak. And he will speak, and he won't speak in his own authority, which means we can't speak in our own authority. I can't say, "Leave me alone," and expect something to happen, because I ain't got no power, I ain't got no authority. But if I say Jesus' name, that has all power and all authority, amen, I can declare what's to come. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be set free. Whatever it is that you need, you'll be able to send it through the blood and the pain and the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us. That's why we can use his name. Amen. And then the spirit of truth came. In Matthew 28:18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so didn't Jesus come for us to receive the truth and for us to be able to declare the things that are to come? Okay. So what did you say? Well, Dr. Happy, I don't know that I hear God's voice. I don't know that I understand it that way. But I like John 10:27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know, and I know them, and they follow me." So if we know God's voice and we're his sheep, then we should be able to operate in some of these things that we read in the Bible, right? Some or all? I believe it's all. But I think because of our unbelief and our doubt and our desire to want to be in authority and not recognize that we have to use God's authority, that's how we slip up. And I think sometimes we get confused by the voices that we hear. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are we following the things of God? Do we really know when God is talking to us, or when we're talking to ourselves, or the enemy is talking to us? Or are we following the advice of others? We have to be reminded that sometimes we get caught up because we want something really bad, and because we want it really bad, we believe that God's talking, but it's really our flesh talking. So we have to know him, and we have to know him. And then when we know him, we have to be obedient to him. And so I love the fact that when we are obedient and when we follow the things of God, it's so simple, so clear. But usually those times when we're the clearest is when ain't nothing going wrong. Yeah, I know Jesus. He's my friend. And we sing and dance and we, you know, do stuff, and we just forget that the enemy is coming and he is seeking who he can devour. And he knows when we've allowed our flesh to become king. And so I love this scripture, and it's not one of my, not the favorite scripture, but it's getting close to it. Because, praise God, I need it more and more. Luke 10 and 19, I have given you authority to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. I have given you, he's talking about us now. I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. If we really believe that, we will be bolder. We will be more confident. We would declare, announce, whatever syllable and sentence or synonym you want to use. We will state that emphatically. No. As my sister said, we're going to, not today, no. We would stand in the confidence of God in every situation, not just when we think we're about to die or when, you know, things just seem to be unbearable. It's all the time, all the time. And that's why, again, you have to know the word. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But we play with him often. We play with his marbles, and then when he snatches them and we don't understand, well, where did they go? Then now we want to look for Jesus. It don't always work that way. The word says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's 1 John 3 and 8. We can't expect for these miracles and these powers and wonders from God to come when we continue to allow our flesh to be king. We have to make sure that we are not submitting ourselves to anything other than God. Because when we submit ourselves to God, we can stand on the word and know that if we resist the devil, he'll flee. And when he flees, praise God, we are we're guaranteed that the enemy has to back up, because that's what the Bible says. I like that Mark 16 and 17 and 18 kind of goes into more details. It says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? They will recover. That's a bold statement to say. But it also says that we have to believe. We have to believe. And then we have to believe it's in his name, not ours. It's always interesting to me when people lay hands on folks and talk about, you know, come out and all that, and they don't say in Jesus' name. I think sometimes the enemy allows stuff to happen so that we can think that we did something. And that's for those of us that call ourselves ministers. We think, so sometimes forget that we think that we did that. We helped them people. We delivered them people. We prayed for them people. It's a trap. It's a trap. We give all glory to God. All glory to God. all glory to God. We don't take credit for his work. It's him. He uses us. And we need to be thankful that he chose us, because for me, when he called me into the ministry, I mean, I kind of wanted it because, you know, I crave power, but nevertheless. But when he really did call me and he said it was my turn, do you know how grateful I was and how I really was taught the proper way to understand that he didn't have to? He didn't have to call me to teach. He could use somebody else. He could, but he called me, and so I'm grateful. And so I don't take this assignment lightly at all. I am grateful. And that's why it's funny to some people, but not to me, because I know better. It's like, hey, you should have said something. You know, you should do this, and you should, but I can't. I can't always say what I want to say, because I know I'm governed by something much, much, much more higher. And my witness counts for something. I mean, that my aunt taught us for years. You can't be an ineffective witness. You just can't. Because people are holding you accountable. So yeah, I had a right to say something back. Maybe even cuss her out and then ask God to forgive me. No, I can't do that. I am a minister of the word, and I proclaim to be a minister outside of the times I call myself, you know, that other word, that those that know me know what word I'm talking about. But even in that, I'm still, you know, praying in my purpose and preaching in my purpose. And proclaiming in my whatever it is, I know that my witness is, it means something to me. And so I don't take the assignment that God gave me lightly, and nor should you, because we all have an assignment. We all are ministers of the word, all of us. And all of us should be careful on making sure that our witness is effective. You can't, I mean, it's comical to me how we call ourselves Christians and we outdoing sinners. It's just, it's not right. It's not right. And so the only way that you can operate in the full power and authority that God gives is for us to believe in his word. We have to believe in the word. I see you, Ms. Nina. We have to believe in the word. We have to. If we don't believe in God's word, then amen. How do we expect to operate in authority and the power that God has promised? I saw this example the other day. I heard this example. This lady talked about how God is like a credit card, and how when she made it in the reference of when our kids go to school, they go away or go out of town, how we give them a credit card, and we say, well, you know, if you need to use it, you know, go ahead and use it. You know, it doesn't matter what you know, just make sure you use it and that you have it, and that, you know, I'm paying the bill, but you just use it. And how God is like a credit card. He gave us power and authority on him to use it however long we need to use it. And we never have to pay the card. We just use it. But many of us won't even take the card outside with us. We leave it at home. We won't use it because we don't even believe we have it. We have power and authority to have stuff lined up according to the things of God. I'm going to give you this example. My daughter, I may have shared it before, but my daughter plays volleyball. And the team that we thought she would make, it had no reason to believe she wouldn't make the team because she, you know, she's anointed and God has blessed her and gifted her in that environment. So there was no doubt. And so when she didn't make the team, it puzzled me. And I couldn't get angry because I was having surgery the next day. And so they told me, and I remember it so clearly because that was enough for me to kind of, you know, show my side a little bit. But God wouldn't allow me, and he set all that up so I would have surgery the next day so I wouldn't act crazy. And so I had to just take my child out of that gym, crying her eyes out, and make sure that she understood that at the end of the day, God called her, and that if whatever was for her was going to be for her. But I didn't want her to be in an environment sulking and carrying on. No, we're leaving. And we're going home. We're going to, you know, do some things that we know that God has given us privilege to do. And we're going to build ourselves up in the faith. Now, mind you, because I couldn't stress out. I couldn't have her stressed out. And so, had the surgery. After surgery, then I thought, okay, Lord, I'm free now. I can do what I need to do, right? And he was like, no, I have this. But, of course, my flesh wanted to be nasty. And so I wrote this ugly letter. And for whatever reason, I pushed one button, and it was erased. I'm like, Lord, that's not even possible. I mean, I could go back, push the back button and come back, but nothing's gone. So I said, okay, Lord, you don't want me to do this. You want me to be right. And so I'll leave it in your hands. Well, how about a couple of days later, they called her and said that she had changed her heart and she was back on the team. Well, in the beginning, it was a little rough because I had to watch my child sit on the bench. And then she was given an opportunity to play. And then she was able to do what she normally does. And the coach apologized. Now, fast forward, same situation happened again this year. So I'm like, Lord, really, we're going to do this every year because my child is short. She didn't make herself. You know, she can't move any faster than she moves. I mean, yes, she got extra steps because she's short. She can't help but have extra steps. And so just the reasoning behind what they say just don't make sense sometimes. But God knows. We put our trust in him for a reason. And so now she plays on a higher team, and she loves the people on the team. She loves the coach, so amen. God still had his way. And sometimes we get in the way because we think that we are going to use our power and authority and get these people right, and we're going to say what we need to say in our flesh, and it's supposed to move. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to give all power and all authority to God. Why? Because we are to respect those in authority over us. At the end of the day, we have to believe that if we're praying for ourselves, and now that we know for ourselves that we operate in the power and authority because of Jesus and the sacrifice that was made on our behalf for us to walk in the power and authority, we have that same power and authority to pray for those that are in leadership over us. And that's in any aspect, with your job, the country, you know, the governors, the senators, the House of Representatives, whoever. We are to pray for those people. How often in your prayer time do you pray for the president? Or because, you know, he's all right, you know, he don't need no prayer, we ain't got to pray for him. Of course we need to pray for him. We have to pray that he makes the right decision. Now, granted, there's a whole bunch of people who put that stuff into power. So we got to pray for all. We got to pray for the whole system. I think it was so funny to me, you know, teaching history and looking forward to teaching history in the next semester. But it always puzzles me how the forefathers made the Constitution and all these laws and bylaws and all this Bill of Rights and all that in the mindset that they were doing it to govern for themselves. Now, according to history, they say that they, you know, were believers of God and they came here for their Christian or their religious freedoms and blah, 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 blah. And so when they wrote these laws and they wrote these governing acts for us to follow, we later learned that they weren't written for all people. They were written for a certain group of people. But nevertheless, because they were praying to God, God made it fit for us all. And so it's for all people, whether they believe that or not. Because they were yielded to God and they were praying, God made it so that it benefited us all. So regardless of whether we want the Mexicans out or Hispanics out or closing the borders for other people from other cultures, God originally had those forefathers write the Constitution and all the other bills for the benefit of all people. So do you think they sweat? I don't think so. Do you think, you know, any of the races and cultures that have come to this country, do you think they really sweat? Those of us that know God, because people don't like us, the people are in their flesh. God fixed it so that those little pieces of paper that they hold dear and true applies to us all. That's why it's important for us to pray for those in authority. Whether they realize what they're doing or not, God is in control. But he needs our hands and feet to do what is necessary so that his will come to earth. So we have to do our parts. When we don't do our parts, then praise God. Oh. Someone said they can't hear me. Amen. It's part of the devil don't want this word to go forth. But nevertheless, if you can hear me and you dialed in, I need you to press 1 on your phone. And if I see the board light up, then I know that you're in the queue. Oh, you can hear it. Okay, praise God. They can hear me now. Praise God. Okay, nevertheless. So, but we have to be mindful why it's important for us to pray for those in authority over us. So I want to give you a few scriptures for those that God governs, our governing bodies. Romans 13:1 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for this is no authority except from God, that those that have existed have been instituted by God. If we believe that God can do all and says all, then we have to believe that God is in control when he allows different people to get into office. It's all based on God's plan. His plan will not come back to him void, remember. And so in knowing that, those of us that, didn't get our special party affiliates in, in this midterm election, the Bible in Philippians says in 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let God know, Lord, I need for you to help some of these, situations in my city and in my state to regulate for all people, because it's seeming like it's one-sided. You don't think God hears you? He does. As long as we're not living a life of sin, or what does the scripture say, that we're practicing more sin? And so if we're practicing a life, the 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. We don't want to practice the sins that we do. When God reveals the things that you need to change, make those necessary changes, amen, so that he can hear your prayers, amen. And then I love Colossians 1:16-17. It says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so it is our responsibility to make sure that we pray for those in authority. Pray for the manager at McDonald's. Pray for the manager at Macy's. I mean, anybody that is in authority and in leadership, we need to pray. And we need to make sure that they are following the things of God and that they understand that God is in control. One of the coolest things that when President Obama was in office, I thought that at one while, listening, because I watched, made a habit of listening to different media outlets. I listened to Fox, I listened to CNN, I listened to TV1, I listened to MSNBC, I listened to quite a few, so that I can hear the same story, but from different perspectives. And it was always cool for me that everybody pretty much wants the same thing. We just want our own way of how we want it to come into play. But I love the fact that those of us that know the word, we know and we can see when things are coming because we know the word. And because our ear is attentive to the voice of God, remember the sheep hear his voice, we know why certain people are in office, because certain things have to manifest in order for the will of God to come forth. And so instead of us being, all hype or what is the scripture said, being anxious for nothing, we know we don't have to be anxious because we know God is still in control. I always often ask this question when we have leaders in office. I'm like, do you really, really personally feel the effects of those people really being in office? Okay, so yes, my disability check may be a little higher or a little lower, but I don't believe in that source no way. God is my source. It's just a resource. God is my source. God can take 2 fish and a loaf of bread and feed millions or thousands of people. Are you kidding me? He can't take the little check, even if they take $10, $15 out of it, because of whoever's in office, that God's not going to make that spread out to be able to do what I need to do. Saints, we got to make sure that we are speaking in our authority and our power of knowing. It doesn't matter who's in office. God is in control. And he knew
they were going to be in control. That ain't a surprise to him. Just like he doesn't, it's not a surprise to him when we're broken and when we have challenges and when we have things that come into our life that we can't control. He knows all of that. The key is, and what I was so kindly reminded of today, is that we just have to talk to him, tell him, or that son, have a little talk with Jesus, tell him about your problems. When you hear that prayer wheel turning, I had to look up the lyrics to that song. I don't know what I was saying, but I wasn't saying the prayer wheel turning, the fire burning. I don't know what we were saying, but it wasn't them exact words. But nevertheless, I knew I had to have a little talk with Jesus. So we got to have a little talk with Jesus, and we got to pray. And not only pray, we got to pray in our spiritual authority, not the wimpy kind of prayer. Lord, help me. Help. No, you have given me all power and authority. If I can trample on scorpions and serpents, and now with the scripture, I can drink poison. Are you getting me? This is Mark 16:17-18. I can drink deadly poison and it won't hurt me. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Are you kidding me? Amen. That's the kind of authority prayer we need. We got to walk in it. We got to walk and ask God to bless our family members to walk in that kind of authority. And the only way that we can be, you know, secure and know our spiritual authority is if we read the word and walk in the promises that God gave. Whatever your situation is, go to the word and look it up and find the scriptures that you need and add that to your prayers. Because one of the things that I think I love the most is that when I really realize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I mean, that's a true statement. We think we do. But we're fighting so much more. We wrestle with the rulers, with authorities, with cosmic powers, the present darkness, and all the spiritual forces of evil. That's who we wrestle against. And so because we wrestle against it, do you think we have power in our own authority? Tell them to go away just because we said, leave me alone. Stop bothering me. No, that's not spiritual authority. They need to hear that I'm strong in the might of God. And because Jesus died for me, I can put on my holy armor. And I know that my head is covered with the blood of Jesus, that my mind thinks like my mind is bound to the mind of Jesus. And so I think like him, that my chest is covered with the breastplate of righteousness, that I am made righteous through him, that I have on the belt of truth, so I'm going to stand only in the word of God. And if he said that I can tread upon scorpions and serpents and not be harmed, I believe it. And so you got to back up off of me, because the blood of Jesus runs from the top of my head to the sole of my feet on either side and the backside. Because you notice that we don't talk much about the backside, but nevertheless, God got back. So nevertheless, pray with your spiritual authority and exercise it. Exercise it, because the enemy, he's limited. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, they tremble. Just the name. But you got to believe it, and you got to know what you're promised to. And that will give you the confidence that you need when you're praying, when you're talking. I think we get caught up sometimes, and we think talking to God is only reserved through prayer. I'm on my knees and got my hands crossed. I got my eyes closed. You know, walking through the store, walking from upstairs to downstairs, walking to the car just to get something out of the car and back inside, wherever. Talk to God. Tell him about your problems. He will fix it by and by. Amen. Just have a little talk. And not even problems. God likes when we talk to him too. Lord, I just thank you. And so next week we're going to talk thankful. Why Thanksgiving? Again, people talk about these secular and, I can't even think of the word, holidays, whatever. I am grateful for every one of them, because if it gives us an opportunity for the world to stop and think about it, that gives us a platform to pray, a platform to minister from, a platform to share with people why you should be thankful, not just because Thanksgiving, but be thankful all the time. Yes, everybody's giving away and having food drives and pantries and carrying on because we got to have a good meal for Thanksgiving. No. There are people that need good meals every day of the week. And so, but if this is a platform to get people to start giving, and then you can tell them, slap a little Jesus on them. Okay, you know that you can serve at the Atlanta Mission 365 days a year, right? Okay, not just because it's November, but December they're going to need food. They're going to need food in January. They're going to need food in April, in May and June and July too. Take advantage of the pagan, that was the word, pagan holidays, whatever. Use them as opportunities for you to show out and show Jesus, to build the kingdom of God, to be the disciple that God has called us all to be. Walk in his promises. Walk in his promises. And then, praise God, we will know how to stand up against the powers of the enemy and the dark forces that he uses. But praise God, if all of us touch and agree and come together, you know what we could do if we all did that together and was in unison, and that we prayed more for each other, and that we really looked out and cared for one another. Why, that would change the world. Are you kidding me? Praise God. I was telling somebody the other day, that whole COVID thing, how it was so prevalent around the world. And I don't recall, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, please somebody reach out and tell me. But I don't remember not one time did all the charismatic leaders of the world come together in one place and just praying for an hour, one hour. I don't recall that. I don't recall, well, I mean, maybe in a theory, we should, and maybe a couple of them came together, but do you know how much of an impact it would have been? We doing Women Out Loose, and I'm not knocking it, but we do conferences and we advertise them too. I mean, my phone is flooded with all the conferences that happen, but they weren't flooded with people saying that we're going to all come together on one place, on one accord, and pray that this pandemic be ceased. Because I think the Bible said that we could trample on scorpions and serpents. I think that's what the Bible said, but somehow I guess we all didn't think if we came together that that would work. Since we got to do better. And if it's just us local people, I mean, we don't need the leaders of the world. We need to pray for them. But we don't need them to be about God's business. You can just get a handful of people and say, you know, we're going to go to the hospital and we're going to take gifts to the burn victims, the babies. Or the adults, both of them, pick a day and do both of them. I mean, but there are people that really need prayer. And we moan and groan about we can't buy eggs because they're $7. When there are real life issues going on in the world where people are really, really struggling. But we'll pray for the egg prices to come down and for them to have more chicken wings at the grocery store. But when it comes to us coming together and making sure people's rent is paid and people have insurance, and, I mean, it's like there's so much to pray for, and we got to be more diligent and we got to be more realistic to what we're really praying about. Lord, I pray for the world that people will continue to be able to go into the places that have been forbidden for people to minister the word of God. Do we think about the missionaries of the world that are going into really hostile environments just to say the name Jesus and you better not have a Bible? I mean, are we praying? Do we think enough, or do we take enough time to use our spiritual authority to command heaven to come down and to make a pathway for those people to be able to get in and out of places to provide supplies? I remember my daughter went to Nicaragua, and there was a pact that they had to take all the clothes that they were willing to leave because they wouldn't allow them to bring stuff. So they just packed the stuff as if it was their stuff, and then they just left it, and they came back with nothing. That was beautiful to me, beautiful. Bringing shoes and stuff, and, you know, you got to do what you got to do and be led by the Holy Spirit to be able to bless people. And that's why it's important for us to know the voice of God, to know the voice of God, and not to be caught up in our own livelihood, but to reach out and to be willing vessels for God to use when he needs us most. And so I am going to close it out with prayer. I think that it's necessary sometimes for us to be examples. We can minister the word, but do we often pray to be an example for others? And why it's important for us to pray with a spiritual authority. Now, by no means is my prayers examples for you to live by. You see God and find out what you need to pray for so that you can, we all want to be authentic. And I think that's one of the reasons why many people in the classes that I took, I taught, when I had people pray openly, they were afraid because they didn't sound like such and such. And, you know, they didn't think that they spoke eloquently enough to that is so beside the point when we really realize who are we praying to. And I think once I got them to understand, this ain't about so-and-so or brother such-and-such. This is about God. You are talking to him, and he knows your situation, and he knows you. And so if you're authentic and you're diligent to yourself, then amen. Why wouldn't God be pleased? Because you're talking to him. You're not talking to influence nobody. You're praying in the spirit of God so that he will hear you and he will manifest what you're asking him for. Now, the coolest thing about prayer is that the guide or guideline, those of you that don't know exactly how to pray, is to pray in the Acts prayer. And so you always want to start with adoring. You always want to make sure that you reference how awesome and amazing God is. And then you want to do the confession. And then confessions can be, you know, confessing your sins. And they can also be declaring stuff. Amen. I like confessing both because they have twofold. And then T, you always want to thank God. And then S, you want to then ask for your supplement, I mean, your supplication, which things that you need. But nevertheless, however you pray, I'm pretty sure God is just excited that you're praying with him. But praise God for the limited time. Oh, look, I don't have much time. Amen. My computer must be off because I look at my phone. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm out of time. Never out of time, but I'm out of time, but I will pray anyway. I'm going to go back to that prayer that I started in the beginning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the power to have authority and to be able to pray in your authority. So I thank you, Father, that we're all children of God and that your spirit dwells in each one of us and that we have the victory of knowing that you are in every situation. Therefore, Father, we know and thank you for the blood that Jesus made on the cross for us that we can claim in his name that every stronghold against the enemy has to be destroyed, has to fall. We thank you, Father, by the blood and the power of Jesus that we can rebuke Satan and his evil forces and anything that he's trying to bring us down to distract us from your will and your way. And we thank you, Father, that because of Jesus, he has no power, no authority in our lives. As long as we keep ourselves close to you and listen and look for instruction and purpose, that we will have everything that we say and that we ask for along according to your plan and your power and your glory. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for everything that you've given us to make this walk on earth easy because we're doing it according to your plan and your purpose. We love you. We honor, we adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Again, thank you for tuning in. This is Leah Killings with the Power to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I always close the broadcast off with my granny's favorite song. Every praise belongs to him because it does. Saints, remember, you have to pray in authority and pray for those in authority. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And remember, 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 always, always, always start your day with prayer. Pray for your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Here we go.
praise is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one accord. Come on, say every praise.